This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson again today. We're glad you've tuned us in. If you would like to contact me again, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You might want to go to my website if you'd like to re-listen to the program or would like to download it to your own computer. Again, you can leave me prayer requests either through the website or you can leave them by regular mail. You can contact me if you have any other comments or needs associated with the program. So again, if you'd like to be on that free subscription list to Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need one of my addresses in order to contact me so that I can contact them. So if you need the addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, we have finished looking at the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and before we start another series on another book, there's a few topics I would like to take up, and one of them is the topic of what does it mean to be a Christian? I listen to friends and neighbors and people that I meet in coffee shops, and I am convinced that there is a great misconception about what it really means to be a Christian. There are times when I am almost afraid to tell people that I'm a Christian because in most cases they associate being a Christian with a certain lifestyle. And the lifestyle that they associate it with today is not a lifestyle that often many people want to be involved with. It seems to be a lifestyle that asks the unsaved to live like the saved and to have the attitudes and the convictions of saved people who are truly born again. And of course, before we're saved, we do not have a spiritual interest in spiritual things, though we may be very good people. And because the rules, I would call them, the rules of Christianity are often in a sense, forced on people who have no conviction about biblical things, being a Christian becomes an oppressive thing to them. And so I want to look at what it means to be a Christian, and I want to emphasize as I look at this that it is possible to be a Christian and not act like one. And the reason I know that's true is because most of the epistles written by Paul and Peter and James in the New Testament were written to correct behavioral problems on the part of Christians. So it's true that Christians ought to behave like Christians, but it is also true that particularly when we're first saved, we don't even know exactly what pleases the Lord, and we don't always act like Christians. And so it is possible to be a Christian and not act like a Christian. But on the other hand, it's also possible to act like a Christian and not be a Christian. There are many people who are very Christian-like in the way they act, but they have never acknowledged the claim of Christ on their life. They have never acknowledged that even though they have done a lot of good in their life, they have tried to be a blessing to their neighbors, they've tried to make a positive impact, they may have gone and helped in disasters and in a sense love their neighbors, yet if they have never really come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, then as I read the Bible, they are not Christians. And sometimes I almost wish that the people who act like Christians and are not Christians could trade places with the people who are Christians and who don't act like Christians. Because it seems like after we're saved, Satan has a way of getting us to make Christianity a burden and oppressive sometimes to those who really don't understand what it is all about. So with that in mind, keeping in mind that you can be a Christian and not act like one, and you can act like one and not be a Christian, I'm going to read an article that I wrote clear back in 2001. It was in response to a question I had on this very issue. And the reason the illustrations will be dated is because that it was written some time back, in 2001, 10 years ago. Now, the article went like this in response to the question, what is a Christian? Today, we hear that the problems in Kosovo, as well as the current war on terrorism, are because of a conflict between Christians and Muslims. In Littleton, Colorado, a girl is shot because she is a Christian. Sometimes we hear of real Christians or born-again Christians. You have asked a question that bothers many, since the term means different things to different people. There are three references to Christians in the New Testament. These are, number one, Acts 11 and verse 26, and we've looked at this as we've gone through the Acts of the Apostles. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And then there is Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then there is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The normal Bible dictionary definition of a Christian is one who follows Christ. A secular dictionary may have as a distinction or as a definition one who believes the teachings of Christ. But it will also indicate that a Christian is a moral person or a person having the qualities of Jesus. In other words, most people consider a Christian to be a person who lives a certain lifestyle because of his or her belief in the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Now let's see how the Bible would define it. In Acts 11 and 26, the term was used by non-Christians to identify the believers in Christ. In verse 21, there was a great number that believed and turned to the Lord. The Christians had been called Nazarenes by the Jews in Acts 24 and verse 5. The Jews had originally considered believers in Christ to be a sect of the Hebrew religion. So there were those who were using this term. This is not part of the article, but my comments on it. There were those who were using the term to identify Christians as another sect of Judaism. And we've looked at that in the book of the Acts. Paul makes it clear that it's not another sect of Judaism. Judaism rejected Christ, and now those who are following Christ are there. They are a new thing, a new man, according to the teachings of Ephesians. And then going on with the article, in Acts 26, verse 26, King Agrippa used the term after Paul tells him how he came to trust in the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road. Thus Paul has explained how he became a Christian, and now Paul has said in verse 18 that his commission is to open their eyes, or their understanding, in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified, that is, those who are set apart as special, by faith in me, that is, in the Lord Jesus, that is, by trusting in the Lord Jesus. There is no doubt that King Agrippa understood that Paul was trying to persuade him to trust in Christ so that he too could be enlightened, freed from the power of Satan, forgiven, and sanctified by faith in the Lord Jesus. And so, again, as an aside, in the Acts of the Apostles, this is probably the best place to go for a definition of what it means to be a Christian. In the preaching of the gospel, Paul had been trying to convince King Agrippa that the Lord Jesus could be trusted, and that when he trusted him, his sins would be forgiven, and that he then, because of what the Lord had done for him, he would become one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. He would be a follower of him. He would be a student of him. And so King Agrippa understood that. It wasn't just a sect of Judaism, but Paul was trying to convince him that Jesus was, in fact, the answer to the world's problem of sin, that he had been raised from the dead, he had gone to heaven, and he was coming again. Now again, going back to the article, Peter definitely uses the term as identifying the Christians with the name of Christ as we compare verses 14 and 16 in 1 Peter 4. Now, 1 Peter 4, verses 14 through 16 read this way. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So again, Peter definitely uses the term as identifying Christians with the name of Christ. For the name of Christ here has to do with his character, with his reputation, and with his authority. So when we're called Christians, or when we're called followers of Christ, when we're called disciples of Christ, or when we identify ourselves with Christ in this way, we are identifying ourselves with the one who is in fact the Savior of the world, and one whose behavior, of course, we would like to imitate or emulate. In summary, being a Christian is not a lifestyle as much as it is a relationship formed by trust. A Christian has received Christ as his or her personal Savior by trusting in him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. Now that's John chapter 1, starting at verse 12. A Christian is born again, since one can't be a Christian without the new birth. A real Christian is one who really trusts in the person of Christ, and who has had that affect his or her lifestyle, in contrast to one who casually says that he or she believes in the Lord Jesus with no conviction about what that means. No ceremony makes a Christian, though Christians believe in ceremonies such as baptism and the Lord's Supper. One can't join a group to become a Christian, though Christians do join together for the purpose of worship, teaching, prayer, and fellowship. A Christian is a follower of Christ because he or she has utmost confidence or faith in Christ, and thus knows that his or her sins are forgiven and that he or she has eternal life. And 1 John 5, verse 13 says, "These things I have written unto you that believe, that you may know that ye have eternal life." So in conclusion, a Christian is one of Christ. Is one who is one of Christ. Let me rephrase that. A Christian is one who is one of Christ, and the world sees that they are believers in him and followers of him. Again, you can be a Christian and not act like one, and that's a shame, because if we are Christians, obviously we don't want to defile the name, the reputation, and the character of the one that has died for us. And you can act like a Christian and not be one, and this worries me, because I see many good people who think that because they have tried to be good, that they are Christians. And then we need to recognize that even as far as persecution and suffering is concerned, if Christians suffer, just think what the ungodly, the sinner who has rejected Christ, is going to suffer. What will be the end? If Peter says in this section, what will be the end of those who obey not the gospel of Christ? If the righteous one is scarcely saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Now, our Heavenly Father, we just pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We pray that not only are my listeners Christians, but that they're acting like Christians. Bless thy word as we commend ourselves into thy loving care, in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.